Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to the Following On podcast with me, Neil Mantle, and my usual co-host, Steve Harmison. We're going to be reviewing the fourth round of the county championship, in which some of the high-flying early starters came a cropper, and some of those teams who've really been struggling bounced back with emphatic victories. And I'm thinking, of course, of Surrey predominantly, who had a miserable start to the season, but then bounced back with an absolutely thumping innings and 289-run victory. But another one of the high flyers that came a cropper were Warwickshire, who were top of Group 1 and actually, oddly enough, remain top of Group 1 despite taking just 1 point. And I'm starting with the Warwickshire-Durham fixture because, Harmy, your boys, your former boys, always, I think once a Durham lad, always a Durham lad.
Always,
they,
always.
Of course. But they're one of the ones who were struggling, who came really good with an innings victory of themselves by an innings 127 against the Bears. But you and I have mentioned this in the last couple of weeks. Durham hadn't won a game before this round, but should have done. I mean, they've been playing really well. They were bottom of Group 1 and didn't deserve to be there.
No, they didn't. And when you look at Group 1 now at the end of this week, there's 14 points between top and bottom. So it tells you how close this group is, and rightly so. We talked to David Beddingham last week, and I've mentioned over the course of these last 3 weeks that Durham just haven't been able to get themselves over the line. Winning positions, not over the line. I was so intrigued to watch the stream first up on Thursday morning because there was a certain England fast bowler. He was back, Mark Wood. And when I watched the footage, looked at the pitch, seen the overhead conditions at Durham, 2 days before, Tuesday and Wednesday, there was a lot of rain in the northeast of England. And Warwickshire were disappointed, I think, with the surface. But it wasn't Mark Wood's pace, it was Ben Rain. Ben Rain bowled about 80 miles an hour and he bowled it off stump. Let the ball do the work on the green pitch, and it was an artist at work. He had 5 wickets for 2 runs at one point and bowled Warwickshire out. Warwickshire were all at sea. 87 all out, first innings, and they were, you could say, lucky to get 87. What was it?
32 for 8, weren't they?
There were 30 for 8. There was a 52-run partnership between Craig Miles and Liam Norwood, but ticking out. Hey, Durham were brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Rain in the... Mark Wood bowled fast. He bowled fast. First up, he bowled Robert Yates with a ball. I don't even think Robert Yates has seen it yet. It went through him before he was even there. He bowled quickly, and then second innings, Durham came out, got to a brilliant start. 200 run Will Young and Alex Lees, 208 run partnership for the first wicket, and got themselves in such a commanding position. There was only going to be one winner, 391, and then it was a Chris Rushworth, 3 wickets after that, and somebody that we need to keep an eye on. I think the England selectors have always they've had an eye on him for a year or two now. He's had a lot of injuries. South African-born Brandon Carse, again, 5 wickets in the second innings. He's got a lot of wickets so far this summer. I think he's fifth in the wicket taken, and he's played one game less. He's got 19 wickets at an average of 17. So he won the game in the end for Durham. He was the 5-wicket haul in the second innings. But a great start for Durham. Not much to write home about if you're one of the Warwickshire Bears. 1 point, still top of the league, and well done, Durham.
I like Brydon Carse. I really like the look of him. He took 2 for 15 in the first innings as well. So 7 for 64 in the match. And you said that Warwickshire might not have been happy with the surface. Well, it's hard to be too unhappy with it when your hosts make 391 for 9.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I looked at this. It would literally, one thing we're going to touch on throughout this show, man, is we've been top heavy batsmen in the last 3 weeks. Well, the ball started to dominate, and I'm not sure whether that is bowlers getting more miles in the legs, getting better because of, we've talked about with the likes of Tim Bresnan and a few others in previous shows about the COVID bubble, not having the practice facilities and, you know, not having the facilities they had in previous years to get the preparation into the bowler's legs. And they're just starting to come now, good now, or England's been very dry over the last 6 weeks, very, very dry. And last Tuesday and Wednesday, there was a big, big douse of rain throughout the country. And maybe it's just spiced up the wickets a little. And I think that's seen this week because there's a lot more fifers than there were hundreds.
So well done to Durham there, who moved up from bottom into third place in Group 1. So what stood out for you then as we moved to Trent Bridge in the Notts Derby game? Notts obviously won by 310 runs. It's the first championship game they've won since 2018. Oh, that makes my eyes water saying that. Leicester didn't win a game for 3 years. You remember a few years ago. But Notts have started this season off really badly as well. Winning by 310, they made 256 and 318. Derby were bowled out for 105 and 159. Obviously, Stuart Broad's match figures are 6 for 70. What else caught your eye?
Young Clark, who we're going to hear from in the show. Joe Clark, he got 50 in both innings. Knocking on the England door. I like this kid. I think he's a player. I think he's a proper player. And again, another good young England player, 24-year-old. 50 in both innings, getting his team over the line. First win since, it's actually Joe Clark's first win at Nottinghamshire because he signed from Worcester in 2019. So he hadn't sampled the championship win. Haseem Hamid, he got, what did he get? He got 94 in the second innings. Another good innings. But you know, we've talked about him so many times in England. Broad and Anderson. Jimmy's not playing at this minute in time, but when we talked to Joe Clark about the experiences of playing with Stuart Broad, Stuart Broad has been fantastic yet again. You know, he's ultimate professional and he plays for Notts like he does play for England. And anybody that hasn't seen it yet, get on social media, get and see the catch Dane Patterson take off Stuart Broad to get rid of Sam Connors. It is priceless. It is up there with one of the best catches that you'll see. Stuart Broad around the wicket bowling, quite piercing, a number 10 batsman who has sort of backed away, uppercutted it to third man. And at not one point did I think, watching that video, that Dane Patterson was going to get anywhere near it. He flungs out a hand, a bit like Chris Jordan in the England-India series. Takes it one-handed and then does a Monty Panesar-type celebration. Runs the length of the pitch with all his teammates around him because that was the first win Notts have had since 2018. So well done, Notts.
Do you think Dane Patterson was trying to catch that?
I think he was trying to stop himself from running into the crowd. He was, thought they were going to open the gates at one point.
Do you know what I mean? When you sometimes, you make a token effort just to show that you've tried, but you know that you've got no chance. I mean, he's running as fast as he can on the boundary's edge and he's just stuck a hand out and it's landed in it. I couldn't believe it.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? He was trying to stop himself from going over the line because he's very, very close to the line. And like, you're right, you just chucked a hand out and think, oh, well, I've had a token effort, but I can't. I normally use my size 12s for them ones. Or if I was at mid-on, I'd have a little bit of a dive if the boundary rope was like miles away from the fence as well, so somebody else could go and chase it. But no, what a catch. Fantastic catch. And the celebration for me was brilliant. I can imagine Stuart Broad standing with his hands over his face, Ben Stokes style, Trent Bridge style, Ashes in 2015, because the catch was brilliant. And like I said before, he was Monty Panesar running the length of the pitch and his teammates around him. And it was a big win for Notts. It's a big, big win for Notts because they've got Essex coming, who did well, quite well this week, got a mammoth total on the board. Cook against Broad going head-to-head at Trent Bridge. Not going to be looking for back-to-back wins.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Luke Fletcher's 5 for 28, by the way, took him past 350 first-class wickets. And a shout-out as well for Ben Duckett with his 87 in Notts' second innings of 318. So well done, Notts. And they have moved up to second in Group 1 now, just behind Warwickshire by 3 points. Warwickshire on 51, Notts in second place on 51 now. Warwickshire on 54. Okay, let's go to Essex then. The third game in Group 1, high-scoring draw, Essex 561 for 8. Sir Alistair, 115. Dan Lawrence back in the run, or still in the runs, I should say. Simon Harmer also made runs for Essex. Worcester, though, 364, and following on, never in danger, 129 for 2. Bit of a flat one there. Is that New Road?
Yeah, New Road. It looked as though... Looked as though it was an absolute road there as well. You know, Alistair's had a couple of 50s, first 100 of the championship season. Wesley, again, somebody else who's had England honours, captain of Essex, and it'll be a big test of them going to Trent Bridge to face the likes of Broad and Fletcher and people like that to see, you know, where this 561 stands. Dan Lawrence again, you know, another you know, good innings, 50, time at the middle, knocking on the England door and saying, like, don't forget me. So it did look an absolute rogue down there. Jake Libby, is it? Yeah, again, he's had a start. He's had a couple of hundreds this year. Took over the captaincy this week. 41 in the first innings, 52 not out in the second innings. Somebody who's done very, very well for Worcestershire. But a game which the bat dominated the ball. Simon Harmer, 4 wickets. So it'll be interesting to see where Essex are going up to Trent Bridge, because let's remember the Bob Willis Trophy is in Essex's hand and they'll want to defend it.
Harmy, just a point on we've spoken about this a couple of times now, or I've asked you to explain it to confused listeners, but Worcester are just 2 points off the they're 10 points. I beg your pardon, they're 10 points off the top, and they haven't won a game. Played 4, drawn 4, and there's only 10 points between them and Warwickshire, who have won twice. So it looks, just seems a bit odd to me.
It does. I quite like the system. It feels as though the pitches are better, whether that's the weather, whether that's COVID, and the bowlers haven't had the sort of miles in their legs like we've speculated many times over the last sort of 3 weeks. I don't mind the flat pitches, because that will produce better cricketers. And if it means you're getting more incentives for a draw, are we bringing spinners into the game? 4th innings, not only are the ability to bowl spin in this country, but to actually play spin on spinning surfaces in this country. I think that makes for better cricket. I remember, I'm not exactly sure what year it was. I think it was either 2000 or 2001. Warwickshire won the county championship. A similar point system where you got 8 points or 8 points for a draw. And I think it was Nick Knightside won the championship. And I think they only won about 3 games, 4 games all year. That 8 or 9 draws. So, look, this is the system the way it is. I'd rather have this than Green Seamers, 150, played 150, chasing to get out of divisions. I think long-term, talked about all these young players we're talking about, the likes of Clark and others that we've mentioned, they will get better as cricketers. And that's what we've got to be striving for, because like we've seen internationally, we need a better pool of players to play in all formats and all surroundings and everywhere in the world. And I think this format might just make us a better all-round country to produce good young players.
So the Group 1 then, just to sum up, Warwickshire and Notts in first and second place on 54 and 51 points. Durham and Worcester, 3rd and 4th, 45 and 44 points. Essex... Suddenly, Essex are in 5th place now with 1 win, 1 loss and 2 draws. They're 41. Derbyshire have lost 1 and drawn 3, and they've got 40 points. So actually, only 14 points between 1st and 6th place in Group 1. Group 2, let's move on to Group 2. By the way, we're going to listen to that your interview with Joe Clark at the end of our roundup of Group 2. Or maybe even towards the end of the show, because he talks, just to give you a little spoiler alert, he talks about life on the road playing in the PSL, the Pakistan Super League, doesn't he? And talks a bit about, it's topical because the IPL's just been suspended and so was the PSL, and Joe was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he talks very well about other players communicating with other players, because yes, you might be playing with different teams, but you all from a similar country, similar environment, and you've also got to get back to them environments the safest way possible for your families. And that the anxiety that goes on that. He also talks about playing with Stuart Broad. He also talks about his England ambitions and wanting to be a good all-round player, players he's played with. So, you know, if you're a Notts fan, or if you're, you know, watch out for Joe Clark, because for me, when Ollie Pope was picked for England, I think Joe Clark was very, very close to getting that spot where Ollie Pope did. And, you know, since then, Joe's had a little bit of troubles, but he's coming out the other side now. His conversion rates from 50 to 100 is unbelievable. He's got 19 first-class 50s, 17 first-class 100s. This kid's 24-year-old, and I think this kid's a player, and I think he will play a lot of games for England across all formats before he's finished.
Good stuff. Nothing to no pressure, nothing to live up to then. okay, top of the list in Group 2, Somerset against Middlesex. Now, Somerset conceded a first innings deficit of 89, and they've gone on to win this by 4 wickets, chasing 209 in the fourth wicket. They were 123 for 6, chasing that 209. But Lewis Goldsworthy made 41 not out, and Steve Davis 44 not out. It's a heck of a seventh wicket partnership. Craig Overton was in the wickets as well for Somerset. It was, again, it's just teams that are used to winning know how to win. They find a way, don't they? Because at various points in this match, Middlesex would have thought we've pretty much got one hand round the neck of this game.
Yeah, and that's it. That's you find a way of winning, and you learn how to win. That's the art about being one of the top sides. I remember during my time playing at Durham 2000, and we had Dale Benkenstein, who was captain, somebody you'll know very, very well from South African cricket, who was a captain that wanted to win. He'd risk losing to win a game of cricket. He was used to it with Natal. And I remember many times sitting there, even at tea time. There was one game at tea time. We needed 9 wickets in Kent's second innings to win the game. And we still believed that we were going to win it. And we did. And we did win the game. So there are people that give off messages and give off signs that, you know, they were always looking to try and win the game. And when you do get on a winning roll, even if you've had 6 months off, you tend to find a way of getting over the line. And Somerset have done that. I'm pleased for Craig Overton. You know, we've talked about manners. We talked about the IPL finishing, and we talked about players in bubbles, players who have been in the bubble without playing a hell of a lot. Well, Craig Overton is one of them. He's been following England around for quite some time. To get, you know, 8 wickets in the match. I think he got 8 wickets in the match, didn't he? Which is brilliant. 5 for 34, second innings off 20 overs. To win your team, or to put your team in a position to win the game. You mentioned young Goldsworthy. Lewis Goldsworthy, 39 first innings, 41 second innings. And the reason why I'm singling him out is because that was his first class debut. I think it was his championship debut. So, you know, well done to him. So getting your team over the line, or being in a winning side, is one thing. But when you're getting your team over the line from the position he got in, very, very well. And another man who have England colours, England watch, who I like a lot. I really do. And he's getting on a bit now. And that's Stephen Finn, 77 off 20 overs. Somebody that's had troubles in the past with his action and what people have been saying about him. I hope this is a 5 that really ignites Stephen's summer. And he has a really, really good summer, because I like the kid, and I think he's a proper bowler. When he played for England, I thought he was devastating when he was on. And it's good to see him back in the wickets.
Just very quickly, I talk about good teams developing a winning habit and finding ways to win. You know, how can we win this game? And when you're not used to it, then you find ways to lose. And I worry a bit for Middlesex. They shouldn't have lost this game. They took an 89 run first innings lead. They then took 6 wickets, reduced Somerset to 123 for 6. And there were other times as well where they would have felt, as I said, that they were that they were in the ascendancy, and yet it was their third loss out of four. I mean, as much as Somerset found a way to win the game, Middlesex found a way to lose it, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And you do find that when you are in times, and being in there in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s with Durham, when we were a little bit whipping boys, that you just feel as though no matter, we might have a day and a half of completely dominating this game, but we'll have 45 minutes where we'll lose five wickets and the game's over. And how have we done? By the time, and sometimes, man, when you're sitting in the dressing room, you can't stop it. You don't know how to stop it. And by the time you realise how to stem the tide, it's too late, it's gone, game's finished. And you look down at that top order of Middlesex and you see Robson played for England, Holden talked about playing, you know, higher representative stuff, Gubbins not far off being in England reckoning a couple of years ago, Hanscom played for Australia. You know, there's some good players in this side, and you know, two experienced players at the bottom, and young Tom Helm, who's being talked about playing for England, as well as Finn and Tim Murtagh from the what he did what he does with Ireland and what he's done with Surrey and Middlesex. This is a decent Middlesex side who just need to stop the tide, start drawing games with the view that they can get over the line and win in a game to really, you know, have a good, you know, push for the rest of the season. But at this minute in time, it just seems the water's coming in at all angles and they need to stop that.
Right. I'm laughing at myself here as I move us to the Kia Oval. Because I've spent the last 3 weeks telling you that Hashim Amla's lost it. Surrey 560 for seven. The mighty Hash 215 not out. And you know, I'm also laughing because people are saying like, "Oh, what's up with Ollie Pope?" Well, you know what? Ollie Pope's first class career is a large sample size, and he averages 60. So he's allowed a hiccup or two. He's allowed to go a couple of innings without scoring. He made 131. So if Surrey's 560 for seven was impressive, it wasn't a shock. I mean, it's a beautiful batting wicket. They have been in pretty wretched form, though, and very short of runs in the first three games. But what was eye-watering was to see high-flying Hampshire bowled out for 92 and then 179. That wasn't much better. Kemar Roach took 8 for 40. I mean, you know, high-flying Hampshire have taken an absolute belting. What's that in football terms? 9-0.
It's 9-0. It is. It's a belting. It's as good as your pants pulled down. And it's honestly that. Well, but to be fair, man, as I look at last week's show, we bigged up Bellingham. We bigged up Adam Lass, and Adam Lyde's going to be sort of knocking on the selectors' door. They got 29 runs between them in three innings. We said Amla was finished after a four-ball pair. He got 215. And we said Hampshire were going to be forced to be reckoned with. And they got beat by an innings in 289. So it was an interesting few selections last week. But no, fair play to Surrey. But what we did say about Surrey last week was I think it was 240 test matches that side had last week. And it class is permanent. The reason why you play test match cricket, because you have got class, you have proven, even if you're having a bad spell. And I expected the players, especially the England players, to stand up as the season went on, getting closer to the test matches, because it's like going through the gears. And boy, they certainly did that. You know, you talk about 560 for seven. This is against a bowling attack of Kyle Abbott, played international cricket. Mohammed Abbas played a lot of international cricket. Liam Dawson played a bit of international cricket. It's not a bad bowling lineup. So, you know, you look at the Surrey lineup and the batting terms, and you think, yes, they should be getting big scores. But there hadn't been. There'd been a lot of pressure on the likes of, you know, Vikram Solanki, Alex Stewart, Gareth Batty in the management team scratching their heads thinking, where on earth is the next win going to come from? And then the flip it around like that, arguably the best team in the country at the time, Hampshire, and they go and beat them by an innings in 200 and nearly 90 runs. So Amla, yeah, brilliant. Pope, great to see. But the big one for me, massive one for me, is Rory Burns starting to get bigger scores. And I think if he can get 100 now, the next week or the week after, you'd think, right, it's a prime racehorse ready for that 2nd of June when the test match comes around against New Zealand. And he's got himself in the position to then really kick on throughout the rest of this summer. And that's what I want from my England openers, 1, 2, and 3. Get themselves in a position 2 weeks before the test match, a couple of first-class 100s under their belt, And then all of a sudden, the pressure that's been put on them because of an indifferent winter, they can say, right, I've got runs under my belt. I've had a good net session. I've had a time in the middle. I'm now ready for the test matches. I'm pleased for Burns because I'm one of his biggest critics, Rory Burns. I am, and I'm happy to say I'm one of his biggest critics. But I'll also be happy when he scores runs because if he scores runs at the top of the order, England get off to a good start, and it's a great chance for England to win test matches.
Small little thing I couldn't help noticing, and I didn't catch much of this game on the streaming. But a couple of weeks ago, it's fair to say that 24-year-old Hampshire keeper Lewis McManus did not cover himself in glory with that that one-handed stumping with the ball in the wrong hand. He got three disciplinary points. You were pretty forthright with your views. And he did, you know, James Vince did stand up for him and speak in his defence and that it happened in the spur of the moment. And, you know, I mean, it was clearly, it was a very bad look. And that can seriously affect you as a player. But he's gone out there, top scored in both innings, 31 not out in a total of 92 all out, and then 51 in the second innings. And I have no doubt whatsoever that James Vince and the other players who spoke up in his defence are right, and that he is a good, honest servant to the game. And he had a bad, very bad moment. But I like that. It shows a bit of character.
Yeah, it does show a bit of character. And everybody makes mistakes. You have to make comments on. You have to pass comments on the harsh reality of what happened. And he has to take the criticism. He just has to stick his tin hat on, stick his chest out and put his gloves on and go again. And he's done that. They said top score of both innings, 51 second innings. And you know, fingers crossed it will make him not only a better person, that will then galvanise it and hopefully make him a better cricketer. And that's all you can ask for if you're James Vince or the management team down at Hampshire. You protect your player. You look after your player. Yes, he made a mistake, but we're not going to throw him under the bus. We're going to protect him. And we're going to try and make him hopefully see the error of his ways and make him stronger for it. And if he does that, you know, fair play to the boy.
Right. I don't know what you're going to say about Leicestershire this week. You're torn between being fairly harsh and not saying anything. Well, talk about teams finding a way to lose a game. I mean, they've taken a first innings lead of 146. They've bowled Gloucestershire, who've been one of the informed teams so far in the Championship, bowled them out for 275. They've gone out there and made 421. They're leading by 146. And even then, they're still defending 348 in the fourth innings, and Gloucestershire have chased them down. I mean, I don't know whether to be more impressed with Gloucestershire and the hundreds from Tom Lace and Ian Cobain. That's a mighty run chase. That is 348 for six. So, do we praise Gloucestershire or do we oh dear Leicestershire?
I think I have to praise Gloucestershire, to be honest. I don't want to kick Leicester too much, because if I'm honest, I look at it and I think, well, like mentioned about Middlesex before, let's stem the tide, get the draw, then turn it round and potentially look, we'll get over the line any way we can and get a win. They nearly got there. This was a good performance by Leicester. I think when you strip it down, they got a very, very good first innings total, which what you want. They had bowlers that took wickets, which what you want. And you're saying, right, we'll leave them a target. Lift them a target in 78 overs. 350 in 78 overs is, for me, you know, you should be able to defend that. But if a team gets over the line, you've got to say well played. So, well, definitely well played to Gloucester. You feel for Leicester because they were nearly there. You feel for Paul Nixon. And I must admit, on Saturday, I was getting my phone ready. Come on, Nico, are you going to come on the show? And I can actually eat humble pie and put my size 12s in my mouth and say, well done, Leicester, for everything they've done. But fingers crossed, that potentially is next week or further down the line. They're getting runs on the board. If you get runs on the board, you've got half a chance of winning games. And unfortunately, they just come up against a good side. And Gloucester are a good side. A very, very good side. Richard Dawson and now Ian Harvey. Be very, very proud of what's happening down at Gloucester. The producing players who are talked about playing for England. Young Ryan Higgins, again, we mentioned he's moved from Middlesex over to Gloucester just to get some cricket game time. And what a move that's been. He got a couple of wickets in the first innings. He got five for again in the second innings. Has he got enough pace? Has he got enough about him to make it up the stage at the next level? We'll never know. But while he's putting numbers on the board with both bat and ball, it's got to be in serious consideration for talked about by the England selectors. But again, as much as you want to knock Leicester for not getting over the line and finding a way to lose, like we've talked about, everybody else finding a way to win when they do good winning sides, I think you have to take your hats off to the Gloucester side who chased down 300 and who didn't give up the chance and think, right, after 60 overs, we get a draw. The in their mindset is, we are going to win this game from the first over. And 78 overs in, they've got themselves a winning position and over the line. And fair play to Gloucester for doing that. It's a fantastic win when you break it down, especially when they were 37 for two to keep going, 37 for two, 50 for three to keep going, to try and get yourself a win rather than just sit and settle and happy for a draw. I think it's hats off and well played to Gloucester.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Ryan Higgins is a name that does pop up quite often when Gloucestershire are doing well. But you know what's so good about the team is that there's a new name every week. There's, you know, somebody else contributes, somebody else puts their hand up. It's not two or three stars or three or four stars and everyone else support staff. I think they're all... A lot of the players are able to make match-winning contributions. So they're top of Group 2 with 74 points, 3 wins out of 4. Somerset also with 3 wins out of 4, but only 60 points, short of bonus points. But also they haven't drawn a game, which is a good source of points these days. Third place, Hampshire. Fourth place, Surrey now. Surrey were bottom of Group 2 before that win. Middlesex now fifth and Leicestershire sixth. Just a reminder for those who still aren't familiar with the way that the County Championship works this year. The top two teams from all three groups go into Division 1. The teams in places 3 and 4 go into Division 2. And then the teams in group in positions 5 and 6 in each of the group go into Division 3. So you then play the teams you haven't played already on just once, not home and away, as is taking place in the conference. You play 14 games in total. So Gloucestershire and Somerset and Warwickshire and Nottinghamshire at the moment after four games in Division 1 places. We'll discuss Group 3 in just a moment, which is being dominated at the moment by Lancashire and Yorkshire. We'll go through their three games. But now... where was Joe Clark when you spoke to him? Because this new era of Zoom and Skype and, you know, there's no more going into the studio. And we've conducted some interviews in some strange places, haven't we? Or at least with our victims.
We have. He was in the car after training, been in the training. We're not getting himself ready to take on the might of Essex, Bob Willis Trophy champions. and he was relishing the chance of seeing up close and personal two greats of the English game go head-to-head in Broad against Alistair Cook. Joe, thanks for coming on TalkSport 2 on the Cricket Collective. I think, first of all, born in Shropshire, 24-year-old, a Chelsea fan. Is that a glory hunter? You're a football fan? Glory hunter, they're going to win the Champions League this year?
Well, I hope so. I mean, yeah, I guess I could call myself a little bit of a glory supporter, considering I live nowhere near Stamford Bridge. But yeah, just a family. I have three brothers who are all Chelsea fans. My dad's a Chelsea fan. So I'll say that I blame the older brothers and the dad for making me a glory supporter.
Good week for Notts. Notts' first championship win since, I think, 2018. That'll probably be your first championship win. How good is it, first of all, to get that on the board? And, you know, they're sitting fourth in Group 1, but there's only 14 points between top and bottom. So it's a difficult group you're in.
Yeah, obviously, it's a very tight group. And, yeah, the win is obviously massive for us as a championship side. As you said, 2018, our last championship win, my first win since I arrived at Notts, so it's been a long time coming. There's been a lot of honest chats amongst the group. You know, our white ball form is probably been the best in the country for a couple of years, but our red ball form has been the worst. So it's nice to get the first win on the boards, and hopefully it's the start of many more to come.
In 50 in both innings, you know, contributing to a winning game. You talk about being honesty there. Give us an honest assessment of that catch. Stuart Broad around the wicket to, I think, was it Sam Connors? Dean Patterson running round one-handed. First of all, where were you on the pitch when that happened? And second of all, what was your initial reaction? And when did you think he was actually going to catch it? Because looking from the video we've seen, at no point did I think that was going to be a catch taken.
Well, I was actually at third man, so Stuart was bowling very quick. He was quite fired up, and obviously around the wicket, some short ball bowling. And I saw it all the way, and at first I thought he was going for six. And I thought there was absolutely no chance that Dane would have got there. And as it sort of got closer to him, and he just stuck the hand out, it made such a great noise going in, went in straight into the middle of the hand, and he was off running. But yeah, what a great catch. And, you know, our bowlers were magnificent that game. Our batters were very good, considering, you know, the wicket was probably a sort of 200 wicket, par wicket. So to get sort of 300 and 250 in both innings as a batting unit was good. But, you know, to have someone like Stuart in the side and available for Notts at the moment is massive for us as a group.
And you've played in, you know, T20 leagues, you've played in the PSL, you've played in the Big Bash with some, you know, mentors, some good mentors, Kumar Sangakkara I can think of and Wesley Makram. But when you play with someone like Stuart Broad, you know, it's a different league, especially coming from an Englishman. What's Stuart like? Just give our viewers a little context of what Stuart's like when he's playing for Notts, because, you know, everybody sees what he's like playing for England. But what's he playing for Notts? Is the professionalism still there? Is that why he's great?
100%. I think that's testament to why he's, you know, played for England for the amount of time that he has. And at his age now, he's still rocking up and being one of England's best. And you don't do that through, you know, not being such a great professional. You know, it's amazing for me as a batter to be able to face him in the nets at any opportunity that I can. He's always giving feedback to all of our batters, to our bowlers. And, you know, you really do feel like when he's playing for Notts, he's treating it the same as if he was playing for England. So he loves Notts, and everyone can see that. And, you know, to have him around and to have his experience in the dressing room, to having bowling for us is obviously the main thing, because, you know, the way he's bowling at the moment, he looks like he's going to get a wicket every ball. And I think I'm happy that I'm playing with him rather than against him. I know that.
Somebody else who has played for England, had their struggles, and now looks as though he's in a little bit of touch, and that's young Hamid. He's got himself back-to-back hundreds last week. He got runs again. it's a difficult game, county cricket, isn't it? When you're on the roller coaster of, you know, bus, travel, hotel, you know, and when things aren't going well for you, it is a difficult sport to be in, especially as a batsman. How good is it to see somebody, especially a young player, coming out the other side and being talked about again?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I'm one of them. I think, you know, I don't like seeing the talk about Haas again, because obviously we all saw how brilliant he was when he went on his first England tour to India. And, you know, all the talk was how many tests that he was going to play for England. And obviously he had his struggles in the years after that with injuries and loss of form. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of batters and bowlers that have gone into England setup and gone back into county cricket and had their struggles. And he's obviously one of them. The move, working with Pete Moores, maybe a change of scenery, has potentially, you know, brought back the best out of him. And hopefully long may that continue. And, you know, he's one of the hardest workers that I've seen. He's constantly in the nets. Sometimes you have to tell him to get out of the nets. But, you know, he's obviously, the talent is there, and it's nice to see him scoring big runs again. And yeah, as I said, hopefully long may that continue.
And is it something that you can look at yourself? You're having lots of England aspirations. You know, you went past 5,000, you know, first class runs this week. You know, 1950s, 1700s. It's not a bad conversion rate, knocking on that England door, places there. Do you look across at that and think, well, there are going to be times in your career where you do have a bad patch, but you come out the other side and it makes you a lot better as a cricketer, a lot better as a person, and a lot stronger?
100%. Obviously, you know, I doubt there'd be many cricketers who don't go through a period of either loss or form, you know, things happening, you know, away from cricket that have impacts on how they're playing. And I'm certainly one that's had that. And as you said, I think it's massive how it affects you in the long run. And I believe that it's made me a better person and a better cricketer. So I'm trying to enjoy it. I don't look at anything to do with England stuff. I want to be as successful as I can for Notts. And as you know, the winning feeling that we had last week, that's what I want to have more with our Red Bull side. You know, the way we play our white ball cricket, you know, we feel like we can win every game when it comes to the T20 stuff. There's obviously, it's looking really different now. There's obviously a lot of cricket in the summer with the 100 ball competition as well. So, you know, there's a lot of time going to be spent on the road and playing cricket. And that's at the forefront, you know, things away from that you can't control, you know, whether it be media chat about England stuff. Obviously the England aspirations are there. Of course, I think everyone who plays cricket has them aspirations. But I know that you have to perform consistently to be in with a shout of doing that. So hopefully I've had a few starts, a few 50s so far. So hopefully I can turn a few of them into some big hundreds and finish off strong before we then go into the T20 blast.
In the game around the corner, you know, I've talked about two or three good young England players there, or potential England players there. Two of the old guard coming head to head, Broad against, is it Cook this week at Trent Bridge? How exciting is that as a young player to see, you know, when you know, in your junior cricket growing up, watching the TV, two absolute brilliant stars, and then you're going to play alongside them or and against them in a first class arena. It must be a game you're looking forward to as a Notts player, but obviously to sort of get back to back wins this week.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it still doesn't. You still don't lose the feeling of seeing the best going against the best. And as you said, you know, I used to watch obviously Stuart and Sir Alistair, obviously performing for England growing up. And I've had a lot of experiences now where you end up coming up against some of the best players in the world. And that's the beauty of playing sort of franchise cricket and being able to play the amount of games I have so far, that I've seen some of the best going against the best. And obviously, this week we'll have Stuart against Sir Alistair. So that'll be a great watch. Hopefully, he's not in for too long and Stuart can have the upper hand in both innings. And obviously, as you said, carry on some momentum from the Derby win and beat Essex, which we know is going to be a really tough game. They're a great group of players, you know, really tough outfit. So we'll have to be at our best to knock them over.
You talked about the red ball game, the white ball game, franchise cricket and everything that's going to come, especially in English cricket this year, with you mentioned the 100 and the blast and things like that. Is there an element of the game that you think that suits Joe Clark the best? Or do you think, you know, the all-round package is what I want to be in, you know, this time next year? Talking about either England honours or improving as a cricketer, is the red ball something you focus on, or is it the white ball, or are you just thinking, you know, every day is a cricket day and I'm going to enjoy it?
Every day is a cricket day. I don't want to be pigeonholed as such. I've loved playing all three formats. The experiences that come with that, the franchise stuff, I loved. It's amazing to play with guys that you watch on the TV, and the responsibility of being an overseas player is something that definitely matures you as a cricketer and as a person. With the responsibility of that, but you know, my main goal is to play Test cricket, and I think I'm not of maybe the next generation that sees sort of IPL and all this razzmatazz of the shorter format as being the one. Test cricket is still the pinnacle for me, and so I try and work as hard as I can on that side of my game. And obviously, we have obviously a period in the summer where it will be white ball focused, and I'll be giving it my all to be the best player I can be in that format as well. And at the end of the day, I just want to score as many runs as I can in every format and in every game. And that's what I'll try and do.
Happy days, Matt. All the best. Thanks for joining us on the Cricket Collective, and good luck this week against Essex, and appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks, Tommy.
Tommy talking to Joe Clark a little earlier. Let's move on to Division 3, being dominated, as I said, by the Red Rose and the White Rose of Lancashire and Yorkshire. Another win for Lancashire, beating Sussex by 5 wickets. With Sussex making 328, Lancashire could only reply with 230. So another team winning with a significant first innings deficit. A deficit of 98 is usually far more instrumental in the course of a game than irrelevant. But it was irrelevant this time because Lancs bowled Sussex out for 154 and chased down 255 for 5 to win by 5 wickets, with Keaton Jennings making 91. And what stood out for you, Harmy?
Yeah, Keaton Jennings, some will argue, and I think I'm in that camp, that would argue that if you play horses for courses bowlers on swinging surfaces or green wickets, then you play potentially pick horses for courses batsmen. And Keaton Jennings should have been in the subcontinent this winter with England at the top of the order against Sri Lanka and against India, but he wasn't. He's been practicing with the Red Rose. 50 in both innings. Now you got 61 in the first innings, 60 in the first innings, 91 in the second innings. And again, another team chasing a fourth innings total where you think 250 plus on a fourth innings, you'd back the team that was setting the target. And again, they've chased it quite comfortably. Got off to a great start. Alex Davis, who is going to be with, I think, the Southern Braves in the 100. Watch out for him. He hits the ball decent. He's a decent player, young Alex Davis. I know Mark Nicholas in commentary over the winter was talking highly of having him with the Southern Braves. Well, they got off to a good start, Davis and Jennings. 102 for the first wicket. And never really looked back after that. Nice to see Liam Livingston playing, even though he didn't get, you know, a great deal of runs. It was nice to see him back out there on a cricket field, because he's been carrying a lot of drinks and been in a lot of the biosecure bubbles. But like you say, the first innings lead doesn't make a difference now. Parkinson didn't really get too much of a bowl, to be fair. He bowled 9 overs in the first innings. 3 overs in the second innings, picked up a couple of wickets from an England front. Not much to write home about, but big counties. And when you look at the table at this minute in time, and you see the teams at the top or potentially going to be in Division 1 for the latter stages of it, the big test match grounds are at the forefront. And Yorkshire, Lancashire, it's going to be a big one. I think it's in 2 weeks' time. Yorkshire, Lancashire, week before the first test match. That'll be huge. Huge match, and if there's could potentially get supporters into it, both sides are playing very, very well at the moment.
What do you know about Josh Bohannon?
He that run chase, your eye is drawn to Keaton Jennings, 91 not out, but Josh Bohannon smashed 46 off 53 balls, 8 fours and a 6. Fearless stuff, that is.
It is, yeah. He's obviously a top order batsman. I don't know a great deal about him, seeing little bits of the streaming and the feed. 37 in the first innings, 93 balls, so he batted like a batsman. And again, man, as we come back to fourth innings chasers with the invention of 2020, the way the world's going with a white ball, no targets big enough now, no grounds, it's just weak. We can go after whatever, and even if we lose a couple of wickets, again, there were 100 and got off to a great start, 102 for one. But when your team's 150 for four, and you're thinking fourth innings, we settle for a draw here. No, Keaton Jennings kept going, and young Bohannon came in, got 46 in a crack. Crofty came in, used his experience to see Lancashire over the line, and it's a good win. And teams believe they can win from anywhere. So while you've got that, and you've got young players playing, and in the middle of all this, that can only benefit English cricket. Only benefit English cricket, because you don't. What's the difference between the player that can play at the top level and the player that dominates at first class level? It comes with temperament. It comes with pressure. Biggest two players in my generation and my time who got labelled that couldn't play, even though they played 50 Test matches, they weren't the same under the microscope of pressure, in Graham Hick and Mark Ramprakash. These kids now are getting put under pressure, fourth innings, go and chase that, go on, because of the way 2020's come. Pressure that comes on playing in front of big crowds can only make the game better. And there's a sample size, I think, what happened in that game at between Lancashire and Sussex.
I can't save the Yorkshire story any longer. We've still got Glamorgan and Kent to talk about, but we've got to talk about the Yorks. Tens of thousands of first-class matches over the history of the game since first-class cricket was deemed first-class cricket. Do you know how many have been won by one run?
Three, four?
Have a guess.
Three, four, is it?
No, but there's been... No, I mean, talking about not just English.
Oh, in England. Oh.
All around the world.
Pass.
30. This was the 33rd out of...
33 times in one run.
Out of more than 10,000 first class games, it's only the 33rd. It's actually that number is a bit higher than I thought it would be, to be honest. But there you go. Yorkshire bat first, more problems. Let's be honest. They're 206 all out, thanks to Dom Bess making 56. And they go on to win by one run. I mean, that's fighting stuff. Yorkshire look like a team who are winning but not playing their best. Tell us a story. Oh, by the way, David Willey, 41 not out. You know how much I like lower order runs. Batting at number 10 for Yorkshire in their second innings, 41 not out at number 10. And they win by one run. So well done, David Willey. You win the game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you look at it, at about 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, man, as the story of the week and the best game and the nail biter of the week was going to go, or the performance of the week was going down to Gloucester against Leicestershire, chasing that big total. And it probably still is, but this one, run it close. One run. Spare a thought for Wayne Parnell. Wayne Parnell's got 5 for 64 first innings. He's got 5 for 79 second innings. And he is steering his side to a famous victory against Yorkshire.
16 needed from the last wicket.
Yeah, 9 wickets down, and the rain comes, and they have an hour or two, or they have some time off anyway. It doesn't rain. Wayne Parnell wins the game because he's in the zone. He's ready to go, and he gets his team over the line. He's 33 not out, and all of a sudden, Ben Sanderson, both Sanderson and Parnell, former Yorkshire players. I think Parnell's played for Yorkshire. I might be wrong there. But Stephen Patterson, Yorkshire captain, gets Parnell caught behind the win by one run. And I agree, totally agree what you're saying there, Manners. Yorkshire are not playing very well at this moment in time from a team point of view of racking up big scores, taking loads of wickets, dominating games. but they're finding a way to win. And that's always a great sign. It's a good sign. As a former adopted couple of games for Yorkshire, Yorkshire will have Joe Root probably back next week. And yeah, I'm pleased for Don Betts. I'm really pleased for Don Betts. Talking about hating the game, I agree with him. I played many years, and there was times I disliked this great game we play because ups and downs and roller coasters, and especially in county cricket. But he got 6 for last week. His last innings, he got a 6 for. His very next innings, he gets 50. He didn't really get too much of a bowl. 15 overs in the first innings, 1 for 24. That's, you know, that's acceptable on a first innings. He bowled 2 overs in the second innings, so he hasn't had a great deal of bowl. But he's playing on the winning side. Playing on the winning side. And the biggest thing I like about the Don Best one is he's batting at number 7. So he's a bit more responsibility on his performance. He's playing as more or less an all-rounder. And that, for me, I hope that's given him confidence going forward, because he's not just talking about him being, yes, he's going to get in the test team because of his bowling. But if you give a guy a bit more responsibility, I would like to think if he accepts that responsibility and his performance shines, his confidence levels will go higher. And any spinner will tell you, if they've got confidence and they've got the chest out and they're in a game, in the environment, and the pressure's on, well, there's more chance of them performing. And I think that's where the hated part of Don Best's comments has come from. And now he's got a bit more responsibility, batting number 7, got a 50. Hopefully he's bowling, we'll just get that little bit more confidence going forward. And you know, I hope he does, because I think we all, as England fans do, I think we all want to see Best do well, because he's a great kid, great character, and he's always wanting to be in the forefront of every game.
Wayne Parnell was a standout performer for 4 or 5 years for Worcestershire, wasn't he? Or 3 or 4 years. Got them to a couple of T20 finals days. And it was expected when the Colpack status was removed that Worcestershire might sign him as an overseas player, but they didn't. I think he's a very, very good signing for Northants. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty tough to swallow that. 10 for 143, and then gets a team to within a single run. Just one more. Take the tie.
Yeah. Just kick it.
Exactly. Good performance from Yorkshire, or a good win, I should say.
Good
and
win.
There is a distinction, isn't there? It's a good win. It wasn't a particularly good performance. Right. Let's move on to, before we sum up group three, Glamorgan. Really, really good to see them. With a comprehensive victory as well, playing a little bit better than their record suggested. They'd lost 2, drawn 1. This was their first victory of the season. And the story, of course, as always, is about the old men, Darren Stevens and Michael Hogan. But how about Kent being bowled out for 138 and 74?
Yeah, it's Kent look as though they're devoid of ideas of how to get close to winning a game. They're really struggling. Down at Canterbury, Zach Crawley, the England player of note, with obviously Joe Denley in there. Zach gets 33. At one point, you know, Kent are they're 90 for 3 and get bowled out for 138. So it just tells you there's no confidence in that group at all. 45-year-old Darren Stevens, LBW Stevens for 11, Marnus Labuschagne. Second or third ranked number three ranked batsman, test batsman in the world, gets off a plane on a green seamer and has to face 45-year-old Darren Stevens. Absolutely brilliant. That's why we love the game of cricket. Well done, Steve-O. You know, it just brings Labuschagne back down to earth with a hefty bump. He didn't have to quarantine. We talked about it last week. He didn't have to quarantine where Billy Stanley did. I think when that ball hit him on the pad, I think he might have known. I wish he had been in the quarantine because of, you know, the stick he'd get. But again, Darren Stevens, 5 for 53, just shows what a champion he is. And Michael Hogan has done the same. He's done the same for, he did the same at, I think he was at Sussex, wasn't he? And then he moved on to Glamorgan. And again, another one, seasoned performer. Hits a seam with very, very even, very much ease, and makes the ball do talking if the wicket's got something in it. And when you look at the scores of the game, you know, 197 being the top score in the match, you'd think there was a little bit of green grass on the surface, and the bowlers have exploited and used it very, very well. So not much to write home about with the batsman. Zach Crawley gets 33. He'll want more runs for that to sort of say, right, I'm ready for the test matches starting in June. But in the side he's in at the moment, Kent, devoid of confidence, struggling, not knowing where their next win is. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks for Zach Crawley.
What's the first thought that comes to your mind when you think of Darren Stevens taking 5 for 57, or was it 5 for 53, on his 45th birthday? On his 45th birthday.
How on earth have you done that? We talked to Steve-O first week, and it wasn't a case of why are you still playing on your 45th birthday. I think a lot of us ex-cricketers will say, how are you still playing on your 45th birthday, because of how my body feels and how other people's, even the likes of Jimmy Anderson. You know, this is... Jimmy Anderson's 38, coming up 39. I can't see Jimmy playing for another 6 years for Lancashire when he finishes next year, but it just shows you, you know, people, the love, what this game is, and people love this game, playing it, talking about it, writing about it. It is a beautiful game to be involved in. And if you can still play, why stop? And that there tells you, Manus Labuschagne has whacked every single test attack all around the world, on all surfaces, in the big high profile, high pressure tournaments, where it's the Ashes, where it's England, Australia against India. This guy is the third ranked or the second ranked ICC test player in the world. Darren Stevens, on his 45th birthday, gets him out LBW for 11. What a great game we love. What a great game we love. Brilliant.
Right, I'm going to sum up Group 3, and we're going to finish with your three performances of the week and a couple of fixtures to look forward to in the next round. Group 3 then, as I said, dominated by Lancashire and Yorkshire with 79 and 73 points, respectively, a long way ahead of third place Sussex with 48, Glamorgan 44, Northamptonshire 44, and Kent a long way adrift with just 24 points. In fact, Leicestershire and Kent in groups 2 and 3, a long way behind the pack, whereas group 1, as we mentioned, just 14 points between Warwickshire and Derbyshire. There's a number of eye-catching performances to narrow down to just three, Harmy. Well, there's no hard and fast rules. You can have four if you want. I guess the mighty Hash, after his four ball pair with 215 not out, he's got to be a contender for your podium.
Yeah, he has. I think two of them are in that game. Two very experienced cricketers. Kemal Roach, 8 for. Like we've talked about Ollie Robinson in the first couple of weeks. To get a bag of wickets over five is 5's 100. 7, 8 is double 100. And I think, you know, Kemal Roach has got to be one of the contenders of performance of the week. And it probably is Hashim Amla. I think if you're looking at the English side of things, I don't think you can look too far away from Craig Overton. Took 8 wickets in a match for Somerset. Knocking on the England door, a little bit like we said about Ollie Robinson and a few other bowlers. Brandon Carson, another one, getting 5 for 8 in the match. Craig's been away with England quite a bit this winter and during last summer's with COVID bubble. And when you want somebody to knock on the door and say, don't forget about me when you're looking to pick the squad, no matter how well anybody else is doing, I'm doing my job. So I think from an English point of view, I'm going to stick with the English point of view. I'm going to go Craig Overton for 8 wickets to win his game to win the Somerset game, because I like to see, you know, good young England players staking a claim, knocking on the selectors' doors and saying, right, don't forget about me. And Craig did that this week.
Great stuff. And a couple of fixtures to look forward to next week?
Oh, a big one. Massive one. Cook against Broad. Does it get any bigger in English under conditions? Yeah, if Lancashire could loan Jimmy Anderson to Notts, then it would be every English cricket historian's dream having the three of them in the same first-class match. But we'll settle for two. I think that's the big standout one. You know, Crawley has to go up to Headingley to play against Joe Root, which I'd imagine Joe will be back. Hampshire got to get back on a horse against Somerset. Somerset, who have done well. Glamorgan have just won emphatically, and they got Old Trafford. Some good games this week, but for me, the big one is Sir Alastair Cook against what will be probably in 4 or 5 years' time, Sir Stuart Broad. Trent Bridge. Classic.
Marvellous stuff. Same time, same place next week, Harmy. Enjoy the next round.
And you. Cheers, manners.
You've been listening to the Following On podcast with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can always download the podcast from the Following On feed, now available via the free TalkSport app. Thanks for listening to the Following On podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.